In our Sunday school class, we are, you guessed it, looking at storms. And I alluded to this in our study of Job, but there are many storms in the Bible, and it is an interesting study as you look through the different storms and seek to determine their purpose. Because I think we would all agree that storms don't seem all that necessary as far as the sustaining of life on earth. We could have rain without the thunder and lightning. You know, that takes care of watering the earth and all of that. I mean, you'll have scientists argue different things of the usefulness of lightning and start wildfires and cleansing woods and all that kind of stuff. So I'm not going to dive too deep in all that. But it is interesting to look at the different storms in the Bible and seek to understand their purpose, their design. This morning we looked at the first storm that I found in the Bible, Noah's storm, the flood, the great flood, and how God was just purifying His creation. It was a judgment of evil. And we looked at Pharaoh's storm, the storm there with the plagues. The seventh plague was that of hail. And if you look at that text, it speaks of thunder and great hail that fell. Again, a clear judgment of evil. In both of those storms, we are seeing God's judgment of evil, but we're also see a glimpse of God's mercy. Because in both of those instances, God gives warning to all people that will be affected by it. Noah's flood, I believe they had 100 years of time while Noah was building the ark. And Noah's preaching righteousness. And yet no one responded except for Noah and his family. They were saved. In the Pharaoh's storm, Moses very clearly, from the word of the Lord, spoke and gave the warning, all people and livestock need to be moved indoors, because tomorrow great hail and a storm is going to come, and if you're outside, you're dead. He told them what to do. Some listened and believed, some did not. The result is clear. We looked at Mount Sinai's storm, a storm that I alluded to this morning in our children's message, but at the top of Mount Sinai, the clouds gathered and flashes of lightning, and there was great thunder as God presented Himself as one to be feared. This immediately preceding the giving of the law, the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. And so therefore establishing the precedent that God and everything of God is to be respected and feared. He is a God of great power. His instructions were specific. Do not cross this line, this border around the mountain. If you do, you will be killed. And so the Israelites watched with great fear as they saw the presence of God at the top of the mountain. What was the purpose of that storm? Well, it's displaying God's power. Displaying God's greatness, inciting fear amongst His people. And just so we don't get the wrong idea, you know, God, He wants us to fear Him, but on the other hand, we don't need to be afraid of Him. But if we're not fearing Him, then we do need to be afraid of Him. Did I lose you? If we are not fearing God, then there is good reason to be afraid of Him. Why? Because He is a God of great power, and we are not on His side. We're not obeying Him, though therefore we know that there can be certain things as a result that take place that are not positive, not good. And so Mount Sinai's storm displays God's greatness, inciting fear amongst the people. We looked at Jonah's storm. And with Jonah's storm, we saw God's judgment of disobedience, of a wrong action. But in this storm, the very clear purpose of it is not only was it to change the direction of Jonah, but its ultimate intention was to reach the Ninevites, that they might see and know God's mercy, that they might hear the message and respond. And so we see this storm that comes, and it redirects Job, and again, the sailors, they went through this storm as well, and through it all they came in contact with the prophet of God, and it speaks of them crying out to God. Who knows how their lives were changed as a result of encountering such a storm. Now, in all of these instances, could God have worked in different ways? Yeah, he could have. God could have judged the earth in a different way, through a different means, but he chose to use a great storm and flood. God did do 10 plagues with the Egyptians, and one of them was a storm. God could have displayed himself in a different form at the top of Mount Sinai, but instead he chose to do so through thundering and lightning, much as he did in the book of Job, where it was through a storm that God displayed himself. Jonah's storm, God could have turned him around, or could have just given up on Jonah and used another prophet, but instead he brought the storm to use Jonah to go to Nineveh that they might know God's mercy. I'd like to look at 3 storms in the New Testament now. We're going to start with Peter's storm. So we'll go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And I've recently preached on this. We'll not spend a ton of time on this, but I want us to, again, just look at it from the perspective of God is using this storm. There is purpose in the storm. And I trust you ultimately see where we're going with this is how God uses storms in our lives. Whether it's for judgment, for discipline, and we're going to see some other things here, but to show his power. Matthew 14, verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, that's Jesus, and when the evening was come, he was there alone, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. So the storm has already started, and Jesus comes to the disciples. They're out on the sea. Now when they see him coming, walking on the sea, they're afraid that it's a ghost. They have fear. Jesus calls out to them, verse 27, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Peter calls out and says, "Lord, if it is you, bid me to come to you on the water." In verse 29, Jesus says, "Come." And so Peter gets out of the boat. He walks on the water to go to Jesus. And then verse 30, he sees the wind, boisterous. He's afraid. He begins to sink. He cries, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, catches him, and says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they were coming to the ship, the wind stopped. And then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, you are the Son of God." What's the purpose of this storm? What was the intent behind it? Were the disciples bad boys that day? Had they been disobedient or rebellious, or to the point that God needed to get their attention and show them a storm? What's the purpose behind the storm? To build their faith. To build their faith. You see, the disciples, they had their moments, and in this context, in Matthew 14, it's not readily apparent that they were in sin or being disobedient. They were actually obeying the Lord Jesus. He had sent them away. So they're there out on the boat heading across the Sea of Galilee after a very difficult day, the feeding of the multitudes. And so here they are, and now they encounter the wind and the storm. And perhaps they may be like us at times, and we encounter the winds and the storms and or the storms of life, and we say, oh, not now. Not this. And, you know, immediately we can go through our minds and, you know, what do I do to deserve something like this? And, you know, we could say, I don't know. I don't know. And this could have been the conversation on that boat as they were telling each other, grab the oar, bail out, you know, and all these things. You know, you wonder. But the storm was there. And I believe you're right. I believe it is to build their faith. And why does God have to put us in the storms to build our faith? Why is that? Why do those kinds of things create the greatest environment for growth, it seems? It places us at the end of ourselves, right? It puts us at the end of ourselves to the point where we realize we have no other options. We don't have any other options. And that's kind of sad to think about, isn't it? That God's the last option or the last resort, or we're going to trust in God if these things don't work out. But we do that, don't we? Boy, we do. So we shouldn't be surprised that God might use a storm. That God might use the storm to get their attention or to get our attention and to redirect our focus where? To Him. And this is acutely illustrated by Peter. I mean, this story we could have been told without this whole episode of Peter walking on the water, but no, this episode highlights for us the lesson. Because Peter, he wants to come to Jesus, so he gets out of the boat and walks on the water to Jesus, it says. But it's clear what happens. He gets his eyes off Jesus. He begins to sink. And he is placed in a dire circumstance. And God saves him. Jesus reaches down and picks him up. And then he gives him his instructions. He rebukes him, "Of you little faith, why do you doubt?" So what's the lesson? Storms are used to build our faith, huh? Might we be caused to look at storms a little bit differently? Especially if they come in an inconvenient time, or if they're very painful, or if they're hard, they cause us inconvenience or suffering. Oh God, help my unbelief. Build my faith. Help me to keep my eyes on you. Just a little reminder about storm. That God might use storms, as He did here for the disciples, to build their faith. You know, it goes hand in hand with James 1, 2 through 4. Count on all joy, my brothers, when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You know, that's, you know, that idea of building steadfastness. You know, we need to realize that let's not be ashamed that we're experiencing the storm. You know, don't be ashamed that, oh, I need that, my faith needs to be built up or whatever. In fact, it's really if you think about it, it's a good thing. Because what God's doing is He's giving you an environment where He's going to pull you closer to Him. He's going to draw you in. And He's using that in our lives. Boy, I tell you, it's not that's in the midst of the storm, that's hard to see though, isn't it? And that's why it's important as a church that we teach the whole counsel of the Word of God so that we understand, you know, that, you know, oh God, build us up, because someday I may be in a storm. Help me to apply the things that I've been taught the things they've been learning. And, you know, we need to keep doing that over and over because we need these reminders. We need these reminders because storms will come when we least expect them, huh? Right? All right. Let's look at another storm, Matthew chapter 8. Again, involving the disciples. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. When he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. The he in this story, this account is Jesus. So the picture is Jesus and his disciples are in a boat. Jesus has fallen asleep. And there's a storm. His disciples come to him, verse 25, and awoke him and saying, Lord, save us. We perish. And he says unto them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? And then he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? All right. Again, we've had the disciples, and it doesn't seem like they're being naughty. All right. It seems like they're doing all right, being faithful. They're with Jesus. They're in a boat. Jesus falls asleep. There's a storm. come on. You know, why? The big question. Why do we have to put up with this? Why do we have to have another storm? Now, it is very clear from the text that the disciples were in fear of their lives. Thankfully, I have not been on the sea in a storm. Has anybody been on the sea in a storm? No? Okay. It is it has to be a fearful thing, especially on a boat, you know, such as theirs. I'm sure in these cruise liners it's a bit different, but they're in fear of their lives. Now, what we're seeing here is Jesus, he's right there with them that whole time. Jesus is there right along with them, yet the disciples fear for their lives. If Jesus could sleep, think about this, if Jesus could sleep, then they were to understand that they were okay too, wouldn't you think? If Jesus was sleeping through the storm, don't you think they'd be okay too? Because surely nothing's going to happen to Jesus. Jesus knew how his life would end, didn't he? And was it going to be in a storm? Drowning? No. He had a great purpose for his life and death. And it surely wasn't going to be drowning. So Jesus knew how his life would end, and it was not going to be through that purpose. So what was the purpose of this storm? They came to know who he was, or is. Yeah. I think it's really twofold. It's again a faith builder. Jesus in this again says, why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Kind of with the idea of, guys, I'm right here. Trust me. You see this, you see Jesus, he does not shy away from the focused attention and worship of men. In other words, he says, you know, I'm here. You know, he's showing great value upon himself and his person. You know, just pointing to the idea that of his deity. And so, I'm right here. Why did you doubt, O you of little faith? So it's a faith builder, but it also is, it's displayed yet another aspect of his power. Even the winds and the sea obey him, the disciples commented. That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen where you have a man stand up and say, "Be still," and the waters are calm, it says. That doesn't happen. But with Jesus, it did. What does that reveal to these disciples? What does it reveal to them about Jesus? He's got power over nature. He's in control. Nothing's going to take him by surprise. He's got it all under control. You know, that same Jesus abides with you and me. He's right in your ship. He's right with you and me. And he is in control. He's got it handled. Remember, he always does what is right. God using a storm to teach these lessons. And finally, one more storm here in the New Testament. Acts 27. Whose storm is this? Paul's. Acts chapter 27. Now, for the sake of time, we have just a couple minutes left. I'm just going to give a brief synopsis of what takes place. Paul is on his way to Rome. He's traveling with Roman centurion and soldiers. So he is basically at their mercy and their decisions. And they are sailing at a difficult time in the Mediterranean, a time when there's a lot of storms on the sea. Paul admonishes them. He tells them that it's not wise to sail, but they don't listen to him. So they plan to sail on. You can see what I've been studying. Paul prophesies in verse 10 that there will be hurt and much damage, not only to the lading and the ship, but also of our lives. He prophesies, he says that, but they don't listen to him. They don't yet trust him. They don't know him well enough. So they head out and they get caught in a tempestuous wind, verse 14, called the Euryclidon, which is basically it's made up of two words, north and east, so it's a northeaster. And so it's just a heavy wind storm in the sea. As you read down through, you get a very clear description of the storm and their suffering in the storm. Lots of things are breaking. They're throwing things overboard. It is a long haul. Verse 27, you read, "But when the 14th night was come." So that's 14 days at least in this boat in a storm in the Mediterranean. They believed they were coming close to land, and finally they came in verse 30, as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they could have cast anchors out of the foreship. Verse 31, Paul said to the centurion, to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved." And so, again, Paul is exerting some leadership here. It's interesting, in the midst of the storm, the sailors are doing everything they can to make this voyage a success. They're failing. The soldiers are doing everything they can, but they have no control. They're soldiers. But Paul, he, in the midst of the storm, is taking care of people, telling them to eat when they're hungry, and he's giving them clear instructions. Don't leave this ship. If you leave this ship, you will die. Well, they finally listen and start to believe him. Well, they eventually are shipwrecked, and they all then are safely, they all get safely to land, as Paul had prophesied that no one would die, and they all make it safely to this island. When on this island, they are taken care of by the natives on this island, and again, Paul has opportunity to share the gospel. He heals a man, and you see, again, the spread of the gospel. So here's a storm. Paul's a missionary. He's been arrested. He is, quote-unquote, imprisoned, but he's just in a ship. He's heading to Rome, and his life has had a lot, has shared his challenges, hasn't it? But now he's on a boat in the midst of the Mediterranean in a bad storm. They're fearing their lives, and what's the purpose of the storm? Why? Well, I believe that this storm was more for the other people on the ship than it was for Paul. I believe it was more for the people on that island than it was for Paul. What did the people in the ship see? They saw mercy. They saw God's grace. The people on the island came in contact with a messenger from God, the Apostle Paul. They had the opportunity to hear the gospel, and many were healed because of a storm. Now think about that. Think about the ramifications of that. Could they have waited at port, waited to the right time to sail, and made it safely to Rome? No problems. Sure. Sure they could have. Could have Paul gone a different route, maybe over land to get to Rome instead of through the sea? Sure. Then Paul wouldn't have been on this ship, and it would have been shipwrecked, and who knows what would have happened. But no. God's man was on this ship with these soldiers and these sailors, and it was in this storm that Paul had to go through, and he led these other folks, and he guided and he directed them, and he allowed them to see the mercy of God. They saw, and the people on the island heard the gospel. Many were healed because of a storm. Who knows what else, what other reasons there might be. Was the storm a major inconvenience? Oh yeah. A lot of things were lost, but no lives. No one died in the storm. Most of those people didn't know the Lord, weren't saved. But no one died. Mercy! God's mercy. But God had purpose. He had purpose. And it was beyond Paul. But he just wanted to use Paul in that setting, in that time. How's God want to use you? How does God want to use the storms in your life, the difficulties or the challenge in your life? Maybe look beyond yourself for the purpose of reaching out to the others, other people that might be around you. Maybe there are others that go through this storm with you. How might you help them to see God as you weather the storm right along with them? Do people look to you for leadership in the midst of that storm? Do they see God in you? Are you one that is trusted as they looked here at Paul? They obeyed Paul. Paul said, "Don't go." They cut the ropes and said, "Nope, we won't go. We'll listen to this man." God will use storms in our lives to judge evil. Well, yes, we've seen that. We've seen that. And the Bible is clear and gives us, it defines when that takes place. It is difficult for us today to discern God's judgment of evil. That would be really proud of on our parts to point our fingers in that way. But God certainly can use storms to judge evil. God can use storms to display His power, to show His might and His strength, to cause people to be in fear of Him and have a healthy respect of Him. God can use storms to direct us in the right direction, to change our course, that others might know God and see His mercy. God will use storms to build our faith. God will use storms to help us see His power and His control. God will use storms in our lives to provide an environment where we might show our faith and minister to those that are going through those storms with us. Interesting study, isn't it? Storms. I hope we'll look at a storm differently. The physical storms, and even the storms in our lives. And may we maybe look back to these different storms and be encouraged and reminded of God's intent and purposes.